Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience. A very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. We have a new series of sorts for your listening pleasure. We are calling the series The Working Experience Survival Kit. The series will consist of guided meditations, guided naps, and soulless affirmations, and whatever else we can think of to ease the mind-numbing, soul-deadening experience of the modern workplace. And someday in the near future, we will have an app, because your entire life should revolve around your phone. And be on the lookout for branded pills, lotions, ointments, crystals, and prayer rocks. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoy this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
that. Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Man, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
You stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
We're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, this is Maddie Kay, and welcome to another guided meditation from the Working Experience Podcast. Okay, let's be in the moment right now and focus and breathe. Nice big cleansing breath. That's right. Breathe in the positive. Breathe out the negative. Get that positive in there. And get that negative out of there. We don't need that negative. We got enough negative on the outside. We don't need it on the inside. We're going to be positive. On the inside, we're going to breathe in, I can. And we're going to breathe out, I can't. We're going to breathe in, I will. And we're going to breathe out, I won't. Again, unless it's something you really don't want to do, like go to a meeting or do another spreadsheet or something like that. I mean, then you can say, I won't. Like, I won't go to that meeting. I won't do that spreadsheet. That's fine. Because we're in the place of you-ness. Okay? And you don't have to do anything you don't want to do in the place of you-ness. No one is allowed in the place of Eunice, who is going to bring any stress or anxiety. We're not going to allow those people to violate our space of Eunice and peace and quiet. No one is allowed to tell us what to do or who to be in the place of Eunice. Think about this. If you're not you, then who are you? Now, today I want to tell you a little story about someone I really admire. Now, I don't know this person personally, but I heard a little story about her, and she is someone who, when faced with a difficult situation caused by criticism and judgment by her employer, elected to embrace her authentic you-ness and take on the man. Now that's something that I think we all kind of dream about, we all think we'll do, and we never really do it. Well, she did. She just took on the man and she remained her authentic self. We're all faced by criticism and judgment every day, and a lot of times we just swallow it and move on. We might grumble about it at the bar over drinks, but we never really do anything about it. And she did. Now, it's beside the point whether the criticism was legitimate or not. From one perspective, someone could say, yes, it was. But that's not what matters. What matters is that she was able to respond in a way that allowed her to retain her sense of self. And in a world that demands relentless conformity, it is essential that we remain autonomous and not give in to those who would control our lives. It's not easy. It takes a brave person to say, no, I'm going to be me. Now, this particular person, who I will call Lisa, was working as a contract employee at a financial company in New York, and she worked in their sales division. And she, like many people working in New York, was commuting from New Jersey, which is a rather long and pretty painful trip. It's a rough commute. Usually involves, more than one bus or train, or it involves a bus and a train, taking the bus to the train. And it can be really rough, especially if the weather's bad. I mean, anything can go wrong and it throws everything off. So, consequently, she was occasionally late. I'll have to qualify that. She was late pretty much every day, but only by maybe 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, no big deal. It wasn't like she was 2 hours late. I mean, and who does any work in the first 20 or 30 minutes of the day? Nobody does anything. I don't do jack squat for the first hour. I spend most of that time gently weeping in a stall in the bathroom, trying to avoid work. So, 20, 30 minutes. When you put that in the perspective of a 24-hour day, what is that? But of course, the man lands all over her. The man, in this case, being human resources. They call her in and they tell her that she needs to be on time every day because there are clients calling and they need to be able to speak to a representative and blah, blah, blah. Now, why can't for once the company just have some backbone and have human resources tell the clients, hey, Lisa's on her way, she'll call you when she gets here. Or call back in 45 minutes or so. Give people a little breathing space, She probably just had to stop and grab a breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe a little caramel latte. Maybe a nice cream-filled donut with chocolate sprinkles. I mean, she needs to eat, right? What, do we want her to starve to death? Sit there at her desk, starving to death? Is that what everybody wants? But of course, the company is never going to say that. They're always going to side with the client. They're always going to land all over the working stiff, right? Now, in my estimation, Lisa's response to this was spot on. It was inspired. It was a response that was her authentic you in any way you could define that. She said, and I quote, "I'll see what I can do." What's more you than that? I'll see what I can do. That is the true spirit of the working experience. I'll see what I can do. A lesser person, a person of weaker character, would have apologized and bowed and scraped and come up with excuses and said it would never happen again. Most people, when their boss or human resources, whoever, said, hey, look, you've been late Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week, and you've been late frequently before that, most people would say, oh, geez, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. I'll make adjustments in my schedule. They would just go all out to take all the blame on themselves. Not Lisa. She was dead honest. She did not say it wouldn't happen again. Which, that's reality. Who can predict that it wouldn't happen again? That's just somebody saying whatever the boss or human resources wants to hear. But the fact of the matter is, no one can predict that. There could be an earthquake, or a flood, or someone could fall onto the tracks of the commuter rail, or give birth on the train, or there could be a longer line at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. I mean, anything could happen. So she said she would see what she could do. She didn't say no. She didn't deny it. She just said, I'll see what I can do. What else do you want? Now, her solution, to me, was genius. She said that she would see what she could do, and here's what she did. She continued to show up late, because that is her God-given right. But on the timesheet, she wrote that she was there at 8 o'clock, instead of her actual arrival time of 8:30, 8:45. I see this as totally legit. She told human resources that she would see what she could do, and that was what she could do. For whatever reason, and we don't need to pry into her personal life, she could not show up at work at 8 a.m. So what? Who made the arbitrary decision that the workday begins at 8 a.m.? Why can't it begin at 8 p.m.? Or 11 a.m.? Or any other hour that appears on a clock? Why can't the individual decide when their working day starts? They can still put in the 8 hours, but why does everybody have to start at one particular time? Maybe it doesn't suit everybody's schedule. See, this is why everyone is so stressed out. They're not allowed to embrace their authentic you-ness. Everybody has to start at the same time. Well, that doesn't work for every individual person. I just read an article. Well, I actually just read the caption on Facebook. I don't have time to read entire articles with my social media time and Netflix and all that. But what I did read, it said that half of millennials and members of Generation Y have quit their jobs because of mental health problems, depression, anxiety, etc. To me, these mental health problems are caused by unreasonable demands, such as the one placed upon Lisa, to be at work at a certain time in a very uncertain world. You know, events beyond our control can cause us to not be somewhere at a certain time, and we have to stress about that. Well, what? It's futile. How can I stress about things I have no control over? That causes the depression and the anxiety. Now, if companies would only allow people to be who they are and follow their own internal rhythms instead of artificial ones placed on them, people would be a lot healthier. It is this denial of one's authentic self that causes alienation, stress, and ultimately death. So ultimately, since Lisa had written false information on an official document, she was found to have committed fraud against the company and she was fired. Being brave does come with a cost. I can only hope that she is at home, lying on the couch, watching TV, eating a bag of Doritos, knowing that she has performed a valuable service for us all. As the wise man said, not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they falsify timesheets. This is Matty K, Working Experience Guided Meditation, hoping that you have a week filled with you-ness and your authentic self. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.